Sick as a Dog by Aerosmith. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Nick DiGilio. I want to thank you guys for joining us. If you want to really join us, 312-981-7200. We're taking your calls and your texts. Man flu. Curtis is my producer. He does not know what man flu is.
I do not. Can you explain that to me?
Man flu is a thing that women talk about when husband or boyfriend or male friend or brother or uncle or anybody that's around us gets sick. And they get sick with the same thing that we already had. And we go, yeah, I was sick for like a day, but Steve has the man flu, so he's been in bed for 3 days.
What?
Basically, that men are babies and they don't deal with being sick as well as women do.
Interesting. Okay.
My husband will tell you I'm the biggest baby ever when I am sick. He just thinks I'm constantly sick. And I'm like, well, here's the deal. We all talk into microphones really, really close. Lee, there are a lot of germs that can sometimes transfer.
I mean, there's a reason that we're constantly cleaning this place. Not only just to be tidy.
Oh, we're constantly cleaning. There are hosts here who have their own microphone covers, which is brilliant.
I have never seen that.
Oh.
At least since I've been here.
Oh, I'll give you names. No, and I actually appreciate them. For a while, I had my own. And then, I mean, when you're here a lot, you just bring in your own.
You get used to it.
Yeah, and you put your name on it. And that way, at least, it filters out just your germs. But there have been times where I've walked in and there's lipstick on the microphone because, like,
what?
You get really close to it. Oh, yeah. So
I feel like you're kissing it at that
point. No, people cough. I mean, there's things. There's germs,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I get sick a lot. Maybe I'm also a little whiny. I don't know. That's
not
maybe
to mention
a thing.
The headphones, you know,
people, those are mine. I bring in my own.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying for people who don't,
some people
who
share,
borrow it, yeah.
Or no, and we all touch the same board,
yeah.
So I'm constantly washing my hands and trying to prevent this. However, this has been a thing for as long as there have been women who are married to men who get sick.
Mm-hmm.
We've secretly on the side said, "Oh, yes, man flu." Yeah. Steve's home from work again today. Yeah.
See, I thought this was like an actual like disease.
Okay.
You know,
well, here's the. Oh, no. This isn't
it's
like
more than
you
that.
Have to get
yeah.
your man flu shot. No.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Totally off track.
But so it's been a joke that, you know, oh, you've got man flu. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, it must be terrible because you're like bedridden. Don't mind me. I have exactly the same thing, but I'll feed the kids. Don't you worry. Here's the thing, though. It's totally real.
Interesting.
Yeah. So according to a study that was recently published in the British Medical Journal, man flu is actually a real thing, which raises the question, and this is the phrase that pays, are men immunologically inferior?
I have no idea how to answer that question.
No one does yet. So this has been completely debated among women and probably men for years and years.
Yeah.
The Oxford and Cambridge Dictionary actually include man flu in their publications because it's so common in the vernacular. A Canadian doctor, Kyle Sue, who is a family physician, conducted a review of scientific literature to investigate differences in genders, immunological differences in gender, after finding multiple studies contradicting. So there's a lot of like double negatives here. So what they found that everybody thought man flu was just exaggeration and that men were like, oh, I'm so sick. But they found, Dr. Kyle Sue, found lots and lots of backup in scientific literature that it's really real. So they conducted this test. Despite the comedic stereotype that man flu often connotes, Dr. Sue argues that the evidence from his literature review is suggestive of an immunity gap, meaning men do get sicker than women. Now, you can think about this because women have to do lots of things.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, there, you guys are always out doing, whether, like you were just saying, feeding the kids or going out to take them to the dentist or to do other sort of things like
that. Yeah, because I'm working this crazy overnight shift and I'm taking my daughter to the dentist in the morning. It is possible because of hormones. This is his thought process.
Yeah.
That our hormones actually allow us to either fight off disease initially or not get it as full-blown as men. Here's something else, too. Testosterone suppresses the immune system, so you don't fight back as well.
Yeah.
And men with higher testosterone levels have a less of an antibody response to vaccines.
Interesting.
So when you, Curtis, and I get the exact same flu shot, because you have testosterone, where I do too,
I would be
but less,
more sick than you would.
You don't create the same amount of antibodies to fight that vaccine, and that's your protection.
That makes sense.
Yes. So if we do in fact then get infected, I have more antibodies on that front line prepared to fight back. So even if I do get a little sick, I'm not going to get as full blown sick because my antibody response is higher.
That makes, you know what? Now that makes more sense. And I don't know what else to really add into the conversation, because I'm not a doctor, so I
but you play one on the radio.
Yeah, I am playing one tonight. But that is really interesting, though. Regardless, the fact, because you know, it is kind of funny, because now that I think about it, I don't get the flu often. Mm-hmm. I've been like extremely prone to get strep throat, like ever since I was in
even
elementary
still
school.
You're 23.
Yeah.
When was the last time you got it?
Oh, well, I had symptoms of it back in October.
All right. Do you know which story is coming up next?
I don't.
Strep throat.
Look at that. I didn't even know what was coming up, and I had an awesome transition.
I really didn't want to do a whole sick segment, but we're completely making the 3 o'clock hour all sick time.
Well, but we got better stuff coming up, too.
We'll make
you laugh later on in the show, we promise.
Will. We definitely will. And while we're talking about it, let's prep you guys' favorite Saturday Night Live segment. And this is there's a reason, because I'm not just doing this as a throwaway segment. I have been obsessively singing It's an Earworm, Derek Jeter's Taco Hole, all day. And I'll explain why. So that'll be coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But here's what's interesting, too. Another reason men may be more susceptible to illness, it's an evolutionary response for conserving energy and avoiding dangerous predators. And I'm not kidding. This is a full-on quote. I'm not just saying this. Classic modes of energy conservation may include laying on the couch, not getting out of bed, or receiving assistance with basic activities of daily living, which could be effective for avoiding predators. However, because I'm women in general, I'm making it me, because women in general are typically out doing things, running errands, taking on more with the children, having more exposure to the children, we're being exposed to more germs and we're fighting back better. So we have more immunity again.
I mean, great that you guys get to be healthy. I guess I'll just stick to my bedridden self next time I get the flu.
But also because of our job in the world, gender specific for having children and rearing them, we have to be able to bounce back.
Do you ever wonder which jobs or careers get people sick the most?
No. Do you have an article that asks me?
I don't.
Tells
That's just a random thought that I had. Because, you know, like if you're in an office, like an office space, and you work a 9-to-5 job in an office space, and you're around people in your own little cubicle all the time, I would think that you'd be exposed a little bit more. I mean,
teachers, you get exposed a little bit. Same with doctors. When you're so exposed, you have better immunity.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in the radio industry, I think that, you know, since we're in and out, we have different shifts here and there. I feel like we're maybe a little bit less susceptible to getting sick. But at the same time, when you're around people, like we were just saying earlier, it can sneak in on you there.
That's interesting. Well, next time your husband, not you, Curtis, but next time your husband is laying in bed saying they can't move because they have something, it's actually maybe true. Man flu is potentially real.
It's real.
It's real. I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse. What I do know, though, is that we're going to come back talking about strep, a very bizarre thing I've never heard of until the past week. So now I'm worried about you, Curtis.
I'm worried about myself, too.
I don't blame you. I'm Hannah Stanley, and I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'll be with you guys until 5 when the opening bell takes over. In the meantime, this is WGN. You can flash back to the 80s and laugh along with the Goldbergs, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garlin, weeknights at 10:30 and 11 on WGN TV. Hannah Stanley with you guys. I get to fill in for Nick DiGilio tonight. I'll be with you guys for another hour and 40 minutes. Yeah.
Just about.
I can do math, even in the middle of the night when I barely slept. I missed my sleep window. I went upstairs to take a nap, and there's a lot of chatter usually when I go upstairs to nap. My daughter comes up and she's like, I just want to tell you about my whole day. I'm like, where was this conversation, cute 7-year-old? When I was fully awake. So tonight, because it was Christmas, like around 7 after we had dinner, my parents were over. I was like, all right, I'm going to bed. And then my parents were leaving. And then by the time I actually like said goodbye and went upstairs and the kids were told not to come up and talk to me, it was like 7:30. And then I just laid there for like an hour and a half, not sleeping.
Just checked out.
I was just sitting there like, I want to sleep. I really do. There's no sleeping. Sleep is not happening.
At least not tonight.
Yeah, it'll happen in the morning.
Here.
It'll be totally fine. I'll get home. It'll be great. I'll have, like, I don't know, 2-3 hours before the dentist. That'll be fine. And then a trip to IKEA. I'm sure that'll be fun.
What are you going to get at IKEA or look at IKEA?
I am getting a gift for my niece's birthday. She's getting an easel.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Both of my kids have the IKEA easel, and my sister-in-law yesterday... I don't know. I'm all screwed up. 2 days ago, whatever, Christmas Eve, says, I'm thinking about getting Isla an easel. And I was like, ding, Christmas, birthday gift, easel. We were talking recently, and by recently, I mean last segment, Curtis, that you get strep throat. You're very prone to strep.
Yes. Ever since I've been in elementary school, at least once a year.
Okay.
Like always in the same time frame too, like between September and November.
Well, that's kind of the sweet spot.
Yeah.
For strep. Sort of the pre-flu, it's a precursor to the flu, cold and flu season. My daughter got it like 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, and then didn't get it this year so far. Knock on
wood.
Every single part of
potential,
coated wood here.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of pandas?
I have not.
All right.
I mean, I've heard of the panda bear.
Me either. Yes, they're cuddly and adorable.
Yeah, exactly.
They eat bamboo and live in China. This is a thing I just heard about. My sister just started telling me about this. My little niece, Grace, had strep 5 times. In the past, like, 10 months. And the ENT said, let's go for 6 before we pull out our tonsils, because she's 3, so you don't want to just like start cutting randomly.
Well, that's what everybody's asked me. Why haven't you gotten your tonsils taken out?
Right.
And I don't remember.
That's kind of an aggressive surgery.
Yeah.
They used to do it because like it was Wednesday. Like, oh, you're here. We're doing 6 other kids. Come on. Like every kid in the 50s and 60s had their tonsils out.
Mm-hmm.
You ate ice cream and sorbet. It was fun.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping when I was younger, just to have an excuse to eat ice cream.
Yeah, so most of my nieces and nephews have had their tonsils out because they're prone to strep.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of this. My sister says Grace's behavior's completely changed. She's this sweet little girl normally. All of a sudden, she's complete sassy pants. Like, she's getting really anxious. She's 3.
Okay.
Pediatrician says pandas. Pandas. Right. No one's heard of this.
Wait.
So then she gets diagnosed and they start treating her with this. I'm looking for stories to prepare for tonight. And sure enough, I find
pandas.
An article about pandas. Pandas actually stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Streptococcal Infections.
Interesting.
Yes. So what, and again, neither of us are doctors. We are both multiple credits away from our medical degrees.
You might be closer than me.
A little bit. Because automatically, like when you have kids, you become like a full year medical school knowledgeable.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens. And if you're lucky, you get your pediatrician's cell phone number.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's work towards that. That's a goal as a parent. Don't abuse it. But this is a story about a family in 2007 who, out of the blue, their totally happy-go-lucky child woke up one day completely borderline psychotic. And what it is, he started having tantrums that couldn't be controlled, debilitating OCD. These are very real things that can affect children. My niece was not nearly this dramatic, but dramatic enough that my sister noticed a difference. And when it did not go away, you know, over like 2 or 3 days, like, well, maybe she's growing, you know, and she's just really grumpy or she's getting sick. Pediatrician diagnosed it as PANDAS. What that basically means is a child gets an infection and the antibodies to that infection end up attacking the brain instead of the germs.
What?
Yes. So that is...
Explanation
is from Dr. Elizabeth Sparr, who is a PANDAS expert.
I was going to say, why do they call it PANDAS then?
Because it stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated.
Gotcha.
So it's acronym. Here's the thing. You've never heard of it and you're prone.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it and I've had 2 kids who've had it. Nieces and nephews who've had it. 1 in 200 kids are estimated to have this.
Wow.
That's really common.
Yeah.
Because I asked my husband too, who's a life insurance underwriter, so he knows all kinds of medical stuff. He's mm-hmm. far more knowledgeable than definitely you and I.
Yeah.
But I said, have you ever heard of PANDAS? And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so he started researching it, and then I find this story about it. I'm like, we have to talk about this.
That's insane.
People need to know what this is. So when you have strep, when kids have strep, out of blue, they have the potential to have these behavioral changes. And it's because these germs are attacking the brain instead. So a new documentary is coming out called My Kid Is Not Crazy. And it tells the stories of several families whose children suffered violent outbursts, tics, and tantrums from PANDAS. So... if they don't catch it early or it's misdiagnosed, it can be lifelong effects. There can be lifelong effects from it.
That's insane.
Right.
I knew I personally, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I've ever encountered anybody with it, but that doesn't mean that it's...
You don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that it's not there.
Well, and the other thing, like some things like OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, people don't necessarily know why they started becoming obsessive compulsive.
Mm-hmm. Now you got why.
Right. So that's a possibility where if they don't necessarily know that their child is doing certain things, like OCD behaviors could be hand washing, checking locks, etc. But it can be little things, and this is a completely true personal story. I did not know what OCD was because I was this age, mm-hmm. right? I was watching a 2020 story with my parents when I was, let's say, 11. And they were talking about it. And I went, oh, like my counting. This is what I said out loud. And my parents go, what are you talking about? And I said, when I went to bed, I used to have to count. In my brain, I would count to 1,000. And then I would get to 1,000. And then I would go, okay, count to 2,000. I kept counting until my body just completely shut down and went to sleep. But I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And so then I would be like, okay, we'll count by twos, count by fives, count by tens. It was over and over and over and over.
So you just kept doing that every night?
Every single night. I couldn't not do it. But I didn't know that it was weird.
That's just how my brain works. Well, yeah, and I could see that as a kid, how you would think that wouldn't be weird because, you know, they always tell you, like, count sheep. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you're thinking of counting sheep, first off, 1,000 sheep, man, that's a lot of sheep. But
right. When you're 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every single night. When you're counting up to 1,000.
Yeah. It was a little Adrian Monk, if you ever watched that Monk show.
So how did you fix that, or how did...
It just went away.
It just went away?
It just went away.
Out.
Yeah. And my parents were like, why didn't you tell us? I was like, what was I going to tell you? Oh, by the way, this thing that I don't know is weird. FYI, like, I have to count. You know, you think it's like you get angry with me because I'm still awake. Well, I'm still awake because my brain is making me count mm-hmm. to a certain number. And then when I get to that number, that's not good enough. I'll keep counting.
Yeah.
That could have been something like this. So this could be a behavior. I'm not saying I had PANDAS, but there could be an OCD behavior in your child that you don't even realize they have.
Yeah. I don't mean to backtrack, but we got a text in from 847. This is going back to man flu.
Ooh, yeah.
Man flu is just a good excuse for men to be pampered by their significant other without sacrificing their masculinity from a man. Nothing to do with the male-female biology, in my opinion.
Well, I would have agreed with you before I read that article. But Dr. Kyle Hsu says that there's a possibility it's really real. But are they possibly taking advantage of the fact that they like get soup in bed and get to watch whatever they want on TV without incident? Possibly.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. So pandas is really, really, really a thing. Antibiotics, if caught early, antibiotics are the standard treatment. So they do higher doses or a different type of antibiotic, not the one that they were probably given, because they would have been building up an immunity to it.
That's interesting. Another text we just got in from a 708. I am almost 50, and I do recall growing up as a child, my mom hardly ever was sick, and my sisters and I were always catching the common cold or the flu. And then I was always getting it as a shot from the doctor's office, and now they don't do that. Well, I love the show. So thank you, 708.
Thank you, 708. I appreciate it. It's really interesting that was how it was when we were growing up, but my grandma was a nurse. Both of my grandmas were nurses.
My grandma was a nurse, too.
Nurses are awesome.
They are.
We love you, nurses.
I have lots of friends who went to nursing school and are...
God bless them, because there's not nearly enough, in my opinion. They're overworked. They're awesome. But Hannah Stanley, and thank you for saying you like the show 708, I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio. We are halfway through the shift, and I'm going to turn you guys over to news. Hannah Stanley tonight filling in, or this morning rather, filling in for Nick DiGilio. I really love filling in for this shift. It is a good shift. You guys are great. I appreciate your texts and calls coming into 312-981-7200. The other shift I love working is Patty Vasquez's shift. And I will tell you what a nice surprise it was to just get a text from her. She is listening, so everybody can say hi to Patty as well. But what she did is, I was telling Curtis just a second ago what a great place this is to work and how happy he is and should be because he is here with us at WGN. And this is the kind of thing that happens. We listen to each other on the station, and then Patty sends me great articles, including the one that relates to what we were just talking about, which is pandas.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to be producing Patty later on this week. So I'll meet Patty later on.
She also is horrible. She's a terrible person. Right there with Chris Bowden, David Flyer. No one's nice. No, Patty is one of my very, very good friends.
It's
I love
a very
her.
Long list.
I love her very, very much. But she just sent me an article. Illinois, boy, you know what? There is not much this state can do right in my eyes. Many, many times, I'm very Illinoised as a human being. This one is a good one, though. People, Illinois has become the first state in the nation to require insurance companies to cover treatment for kids who have a controversial medical condition called pandas. Yay, Illinois. So if your children have it, it requires insurance companies to cover it. Children, of course, we talked about, get strep throat and their immune system starts attacking their brain, making them act like they have obsessive compulsive disorder or other mental health issues. Charlie's Law requires insurance companies to cover medical treatment, including a controversial treatment called IVIG, which can cost up to $15,000. That is awesome. It's estimated nearly 175,000 children and adolescents in Illinois are affected by pandas. Thank you, Patty, for sending that to me.
And you know what? It's
and for listening.
Yeah, thank you for Patty, definitely for listening and for sending us that. But it is interesting to see that, you know, this is starting to get more light and more of a spotlight shown on it.
Yes.
Because since you just said, you know, Illinois is the first state to do that, I think it'll be even more interesting to see how many states will follow up and will take it just as seriously as it seems Illinois is taking it.
It's very interesting, too, because some of the states lead the way on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois doesn't typically tend to be one of them. So if Illinois is doing it, like the Californias of the world are going to be like, well, come on, Illinois is doing it. Yeah. We can't let them be the – they can't lead the way in what we cover
for our
kids.
How are we letting this happen?
Like, are you – we became smoke-free first. We banned RSBC, whatever, the bovine growth hormone. We can't let them lead the way. All right. So more medical stuff we're talking about because the 3 o'clock hour is always medical Monday, even though it's Tuesday.
We're making it up since Christmas was a Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. I told you that I had a my son would call it an argusation.
Oh, really?
My best friend and I were texting. She's out of town, and I was like, "Hey, garbage! Do you want me to put your garbage cans out?" And she's like, "No, it's always delayed a day." And I was like, "Right, it should have been today." And she's like, "No, it'll be Tuesday." And I'm like, "Honey, tomorrow is Tuesday." Like. Oh, honey.
we'll keep you off track.
I was like, I'm counting. I'm like, okay, by the time I get to 10, she's going to get this. And she's like, okay, now I'm with you.
Well, you know what? It's funny. When they start saying, no, it's not. And then I start second guessing myself. And then all of a sudden.
I looked at my phone. I'm sitting in my car getting ready to leave to come here. And I didn't want to pull out of my driveway and leave the neighborhood if I had to go to her house and pull out the garbage cans. So I'm waiting for her. And she was like, no, it'll be Tuesday. And I'm like, in my brain, I did the exact same thing. I'm like, wait, today is Monday, right?
That's been
And then
a
I
struggle.
Looked at my calendar on my phone and was like, no, I am right. Okay.
That's been a struggle for me because it's funny because I get here technically when it's still Saturday or when I do day plier when I get here.
Yes.
It's usually like still technically Saturday.
Right.
Or if I'm doing the Blackhawks stuff.
When you do Patty's show, you will start on one day and end on another.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not crazy.
So that has my internal clock just all screwed up. So I know. I totally get where you're coming from with that.
Well, lots of people are also having problems with stuff like this because they've been putting things on hold. Today being the 26th, right? It's the 26th now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is because there's a clock in front of me with a time, with a calendar. Deadly heart attacks increase during the winter holiday season. Want to know why?
Why?
People ignore the symptoms because they're doing stuff. Totally. It's not
that
funny.
That makes sense.
Totally not funny.
Text from, 872. Thought was the worst stomach ache ever. I'm a 58-year-old male, and I had an emergency appendectomy 3 months ago. And after a day of what I would really like to know what an appendix is for, I think male babies should get their appendix and tonsils removed while getting circumcised to avoid other problems later, too. I guess... Anything to bounce off of that?
I will tell you, I had my gallbladder out like a year and a half ago.
One of my friends had that too.
Oh yeah, that's not fun. The reason my husband always says that I'm such a whiner is because for like a year I felt terrible all the time constantly, and it's because I had gallbladder sludge, which is real and dumb. So anyway, yeah, I know. There's things that you're like, why do I have this? I don't really need it. But there's a thing called the Merry Christmas Coronary or the Happy Hanukkah Heart Attack. Researchers have been intrigued by a disturbing pattern. Deadly heart attacks increase. And one study found distinct spikes around Christmas and New Year's Day. There's certainly risk factors because smoking and drinking and things are not good for your heart.
Yeah.
That kind of behavior increases. There's imbibing. People who have a need for lack of exercise, they let their diet go all to heck in a handbasket, or hell in a handbasket. I think I can say hell on the air. And also, we all know the shoveling. Did you do any shoveling? I did shoveling. The shoveling doesn't help. People go out and they exert themselves when they're not used to it. It's cold. They're bundled up. They're sweaty. They're doing all these other things. And the extra exertion and physical activity can lead to this.
Yeah, I didn't have to do much shoveling. But I will say this, though. My driveway is on a hill. So with that being said, we have a snowblower
to
help out with that. Because since our driveway is on a hill, we get a ton of drifts. And with all the drifting, it can be literally backbreaking at sometimes to get all that in one big shovel. So we have a snowblower. But even still, you have to kind of chop it down a little bit. But no, totally get where that's coming from, too.
Yeah. So while that definitely plays into the northern states, these numbers still play through in the southern states. And it has to do with other ideas are the fact that we're obviously eating and drinking too much or drinking more, and they're ditching their exercise routine. So if you're kind of staving off the heart attack by getting that heart rate up and exercising, you're not doing it. Never mind the familial stress. You got family over, you're a little annoyed. And the other thing is they might get signs that they're either not paying attention to or they pay attention to and think they'll deal with later.
Huh.
Heart attacks.
Yeah.
So if you've been talking about this or thinking, oh, that shooting pain in my left arm, that'll go away. No, please don't. Please go and seek medical attention.
Yeah, be a top on top of that, please. Nobody wants to be in the
hospital. I don't want
to.
I'm absolutely not trying to make light of this. It's really, really incredibly terrible. They also, in our area, they say to pile on the layers because exposure to cold temperatures can actually trigger this as well. And you want to, while they do want you to exercise,
yeah,
if you're at risk, they don't want you to shovel snow. Get angry,
yeah,
or have emotional stress.
Get a head start on those New Year's resolutions about working out and everything that everybody says they're going to do, and then they
yes.
never really get on top of myself
yeah.
and included
and actually
in that.
Go get thee to a doctor so that
yeah.
you can get cleared to do this kind of exercise
mm-hmm.
or figure out how to do it correctly. You want to avoid excess salt and alcohol, etc., and also get a flu shot.
Yes,
as we've been talking about, because the flu can put stress on your heart as well. It scared me for a second. Just stopped.
I love Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters are great.
I'm seeing them in July when they come to Wrigley.
Dave Grohl is somebody I just really want to be friends with.
I know, right? He seemed like such a fun guy. Did you ever see when they did carpool karaoke?
Yes,
that was so much fun.
If you're not a fan of carpool karaoke, I don't know why not. But it is James Corden. Thank you.
Yep.
Wrong generation. James Corden on CBS, and you can actually you can Google them because they have their own little world online.
Yeah.
Carpool karaoke. Tons of great ones. Adele, really awesome. But Foo Fighters, the stories were amazing.
Yeah, we've got two new texts coming in.
Oh, okay, great.
I tell you what, we have a lot of medical fans out there.
Oh, good. Okay.
Let's go. One of them from a 630. She wants to know, or he wants to know, what were the symptoms of the gallbladder that
oh,
you had?
Oh, okay. So my symptoms, and again, not a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not guaranteed that there might be the same
no.
issue, but
at the very least, Google, because these were other things. I had super ongoing fatigue. I was exhausted all the time. And then when I would eat, I would fall asleep within 20 minutes. I was exhausted. Like, the process of digestion was so much effort for me. And then I started getting sharp pains, and it escalated.
Yeah.
But we would go out, anything that was a little bit heavier than like salad, I was asleep.
We have another text from a 312. I'm 63 years old and I never had a flu shot and haven't had the flu since the late 70s. Also, I never had my tonsils out and had strep throats once since I was 14 years old.
See, some people just don't get it.
Yeah. He's saying, I'm not doubting that PANDAS is real, but I have to wonder what's going on that kids are getting strep multiple times. Do they have peanut allergies or allergies to gluten or something's not right? Maybe parents are sanitizing their kids to death.
Well, I don't disagree with you necessarily. I really don't. I think that germs are good. Being able to fight germs.
Yeah, some germs are good.
Good. It does not mean when I get in an airplane that I'm not wiping it down with, like, you know, Clorox
or
wipes.
Taking an airborne or something like that.
Yeah, but there are certain things where I have friends who are very, very nervous about germs, completely freak out. And I'm like, it's okay. If they get a cold, it's all right. We fight through this. And
yeah.
I don't try to medicate right away. You know,
yeah,
if we can work through it, let's do it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a link between allergies and PANDAS. I know.
Well, I mean, I get his point, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
If
yeah.
it seems, but I'm in my 40s, like I mentioned, and there were kids who got strep multiple times a year. I've had strep, I think, maybe 4 or 5 times, maybe. My son, I think, has had it once, if ever. And my daughter's had it, I think, four times. So yeah. Some kids are just more prone to it.
Yeah, I know for me personally, I've had it almost every year, like I said earlier, between the same time range between September and November. I think when I was 20 or 21, I did not get it. And that was the once, that was like the streak breaker, so to speak, where yeah. I didn't have it for that one, you know, span of time where I was healthy for, you know, that.
like, don't anybody breathe on yeah. me.
Wrap myself in bubble wrap and move on.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. I'm Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Nick DiGilio. If you have more medical questions or want to know more about my gallbladder surgery, we are taking your calls and your texts. And that is Curtis Cook or Coke. I said Cook, but it's Coke.
That's right, like Curtis, the soft drink.
Yes, like the beverage.
Yep.
Curtis Coke, who is producing tonight for me in place of Dan Segrou. And he's joining me, and I appreciate that he's new to the family, the WGN family. But yeah, man flu apparently is a real thing. Pandas, we are now learning about. And apparently this has been something they've known about for a while, but mm-hmm. Illinois, thank you, Patty Vasquez, sent me the information that Illinois now is required to cover it. Insurance companies are required.
Yeah, another text from 872. Isn't strep and mononucleosis the same thing?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's a good question.
Like I said, we're not doctors. So, Do you think Dr. Oz is up this early that we could maybe...
Well, it's almost 4, and that's 5 yeah. in New York. So probably,
yeah.
He's a busy man. He gets his workouts in early.
We
can Google that. I don't know. I don't know that that's the same.
But yeah, I'm not sure either.
I don't think it is. I'm pretty sure it's not.
I don't think so either. But yeah. Like I said, we're not doctors, so we could be wrong. There, I mean, I've been wrong before.
Ask me another hard medical question.
Speaking of which, he. Okay. 872 again, like a cold sore is a herpes simplex.
Right.
That's, he's asking like kind of like the same comparison.
Yeah. But there's also herpes zoster and there's like, I get what he's saying.
A bunch of different angles on that.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
WebMD?
Anybody else have like maybe a calculus question you can throw at me?
I'm not good with math. So you can take all the math you
want. I can do fourth grade math. I'm really good at that. No, I'm actually really good at math. So. That's not something. Okay, we've got so many things going on that we can talk about next. Pokemon.
Yes.
I think we need more time than we have before the break to talk about Pokemon. And I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about Pokemon.
We can kind of preview it just for a brief second and then talk about more
I've got
in depth.
Something. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. After the hour... after the news at the top of the hour, so in 6 minutes, we are going to spend a little bit of time explaining why I've been singing a song called Derek Jeter's Taco Hole.
And we're going to hear some pretty funny sketches, too.
Yes. We're also going to talk about your favorite SNL sketches. And by that, I mean you. Listening.
Yeah, so if you want to get a head start, text in 312-981-7200,
and
or you can
the sooner you
call
text
in.
Those in, the sooner, the more likely it is that Curtis will be able to play parts of those
yeah, mm-hmm.
on the air. So get those into 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about that after the break. But here's what we're going to talk about really quickly in the meantime. It seems like I cannot go on the air lately without talking about something about Facebook. They annoyed me last week when they disclosed that they're now going to facially tag us in pictures even when we're not tagged. They're going to go, hey, this looks like you.
We're going to put you in.
And
but there's times where they get that wrong, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But so my concern is privacy. So if I'm at my children's school and I'm seen in the background of the picture and identified, I don't necessarily want people knowing where my kids go to school or where I shop or where I live or like other different things. Or if I'm on vacation, that's the other thing. If I go on vacation, I don't tell people. I don't want people on social media knowing I'm out of town.
Because then there's a risk of your
house being robbed or any of like all kinds of different stuff. It's just my private time is, private. There's certain things I don't want out there.
Exactly.
Someone else brought up to me off the air, what about Witness Protection Program?
That's also a good point.
Very interesting point. I was also thinking about like personal security. Let's say you are gay, lesbian, and trans, bisexual. anywhere in that spectrum, not spectrum, but in that category, and you are out with friends, or rather you're not, but you're still out with your gay, lesbian friends.
Yeah.
And you're seen at a club. And now everybody, like your family, disagrees with that. There's all kinds of actual risks for being identified. Yes, Facebook says that it's going to be up to you to actually identify yourself.
Yeah. By the way, we do have a new text, 952, strep and mono, not the same, okay. Not even remotely.
All right. There you go. So, eight,
so that settles that debate.
So it was 872.
952.
Right. But who asked?
Oh, 872 area.
So 872. Nope. Not the same. There you go.
872. Meet 952.
Thank you, both of you. Facebook is now doing something else that's kind of silly. I think it was silly how they did it to begin with. They're no longer using disputed flags to identify fake news articles. So there's a whole thing that, you know, apparently shaped the election and whatever. Everybody was publishing fake news. But it wasn't just one party. Don't you
all over the place.
Don't anybody begin to think it was just one party. All the fake news, all of the news was fake. So Facebook, who claimed that they weren't responsible for it and yet still took steps to fix it because they were responsible for it. They decided to put a little red flag on stories that were disputed. Yeah, people thought that that meant, like, pay attention to this one. This is a big thing. There's a red flag here. Now they're going to be doing it differently, where they're going, they're not going to have a red flag that makes people think that it's a big deal. They're going to be putting it with links to stories that are more likely real.
Okay. I mean, I don't know, the whole thing with social media these days, and it kind of goes back to the posts, or not the posts, excuse me. You know how, like, when you're looking at something online, and all of a sudden, like, for example, if you're looking at, like, a vacation, like we were just talking about, like, privacy, going on vacation somewhere, and you were looking, like, let's say you're going to Florida, and all of a sudden, you know, you click out of that, and you go back to Facebook or whatever, and all of a sudden you're seeing ads for Visit Florida. Or if you're just talking about something, you know, like at home with your family, like if you're talking about going on vacation to, you know, Mexico or something like that, and then all of a sudden those ads pop up, that creeps me out.
That's a real thing. We talked about that the other night, too, that Siri and Siri equivalents are always passively listening and can then use algorithms to shape your online experience to have things that you and I said Florida like four times in the past 6 hours.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to start seeing Florida ads.
All over the place.
All over. So Facebook says, we know we're bad for your mental health. Here's how to fix it. Academic research on correcting misinformation has shown that putting a strong image like a red flag next to an article may actually entrench deeply held beliefs. The opposite effect to what we intended. This is a Facebook product manager said in a statement. Instead, Facebook is turning to a key component of meaningful journalism, context. Shocking. Replacing the
what
red flags will be a related article section that presents reports from other news outlets that allow users to immediately fact check stories that appear in their feed. The feature has been around since 2013, but Facebook began testing a new version in April, working with the third party fact checking groups to vet stories. Here's the problem, though. We are a society at this moment who wants the immediacy. Immediacy.
Right here, right now.
I don't want to fact check. Not everybody is me. They don't all have to go on the radio and defend their answers, et cetera, et cetera. Hannah Stanley filling in for Nick DiGilio. We'll be back with your favorite SNL sketches on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.